You're listening to Podcast for Pod Life. Today we're focusing on the education system. We will explore how life is on the new colony on Mars. I hope you're just as interested as I am. We're going to talk to some teachers, talk to some students, and overall get a better picture of what the education system looks like here. This school is a little different than most schools on Earth were. This school is centered around community and larger class sizes that support collaboration. This classroom setting is like a flower petal. It's built like a flower. The middle is a community room where different pods can come together to work on joint projects, where everyone eats breakfast and lunch together and has the ability to collaborate and talk and meet people from different pods. The breakout rooms are larger class sizes, where multiple age groups have around one or maybe two teachers, depending on the need of the class. Students are able to meet people of different age groups and collaborate on projects. Right now, I'm standing in the middle of the community center. The older pods are all collaborating together on a project preparation for their community involvement today. This afternoon, they are visiting the local garden. At the local garden, they will be specifically learning about the local hydroponic system. In preparation for this community involvement, they're all working to learn a little about it. While that's very interesting, we're going to talk to Renska, the school's principal, and get more information about the school's structure and overall how it works. I'm sitting down right now with Renska, the school principal, and she's going to tell me how the school system works here. We're in her office. It's a very nice office. There's posters on the wall from kids from years before and a big window outlooking the community center in the pod so we can see everyone working on their group projects. So tell me about how the schools are divided. How are the pods divided? By age?
The kids are divided in four age groups, one from 3 to 5, one from 5 to 8, one from 9 to 13, and one from 14 to 18.
That's really interesting. So why are they divided in these specific age groups? Is it proficiency or is it selection that you pick? Tell me about the selection process.
The age groups are divided by kind of level of proficiency, so they can help each other where needed. And of course, every kid is different in different subjects like math and language, so they can work together with kids from little different ages according to their own level. And then for other courses like health, everyone can work and learn together.
So obviously this is a very interesting model with the pods set up in different groups. How do you select the teachers for each pod? Are there multiple teachers? Do they stay with the students throughout the years?
For each pod, we have a few teachers and they stay with the students like within the pod, so they know the students for a few years so they can help them better and just know their personal needs better. And the teachers, they just provide like a good learning environment so they can work together and provide what the students need.
That's really interesting. So do they have a lot of homework or is most of their work done within school hours?
The goal is to finish all the work within school times. So they're at school from 9 to 5 and then they finish all their work then, and then in the evenings and the weekends they can help their community at home or just relax and have some free time.
What kind of, you said something about helping the community, can you elaborate more on that?
On the Mars life the community is very important, so from a young age we stimulate that the students go out in their community and help where possible. So to do this we organize field trips like every week. And on these days, the students go out to different activities in their community and help out a bit where they can. And they learn what needs to be done. And they also get some inspiration about what they want to do when they finish school.
And what about finishing school? How do they decide what they're going to do after school? Because obviously they're exposed to many different sort of activities in the field trips and within their pods. So what do most students do after they graduate when they are 18, I believe?
After they are 18, they all have like the same information, so they can choose with their personal interest what suits them best, and then they go and learn in the field. So they go to the community or like the group that does the thing they want to do, and then the seniors in that group who have a lot of experience learn the students to to be able to do it themselves, so they learn in practice while already contributing to the community.
So obviously the collaborative work that they learn at school in their younger years helps them in their mentorship when they're older.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Wow, thank you so much for sharing. Anything else you'd like to say?
No, I think that's about it. You can maybe get some new information from the students themselves.
Yes, next we're going to meet with a student. Thank you so much for your time, and it's a beautiful school you have here.
Thank you.
So I'm sitting down right now after my interview with Renska, the school principal, and this is one of the students. Her name is Vera, and we're just going to chat a little bit about school. So Vera, tell me about yourself.
Hi, my name is Vera. I'm 15 years old, and I'm in the very last level of school. So I guess outside of school, I like to listen to music, do some dancing, look outside at the trees and the stars. I really like going to school here because obviously to see my friends, very important part of it, but also the classes are like really engaging. And well, one of my favorite classes is art, because we're given a lot of freedom to work with our own interests and strengths on these really cool projects. For example, last year my group made a tree out of recycled materials and rags. And to do that, we involved our community by collecting parts they donated, which really brought everyone together, so it was a lot of fun to do. We do quite a lot with our community here, like the regular field trips or community work that we do. And it's great to see the stuff that we learn in class applied to give us really a good idea of what we could be doing when we're older. Because I think when I'm older, I want to work with plants because from everything that I've learned, it's like really clear that they're very important and that they need to be taken care of. So,
yeah. I know the older students here today are like preparing for their hydroponic field trip. Did you go on that, or is that something you're going to do when you're older? What kind of field trips have you gone on already?
Yeah, I haven't gone on that field trip yet, but I have gone on a field trip to shadow this engineer, and that was really interesting. Well, not specifically me, I learned that I don't want to be an engineer, but I noticed that from the conversations that we were having with these professionals, that it's like really engaging learning environment.
Yeah, I bet to shadow someone is really, like, you really get a feel for what you're interested in and you're able to explore those interests.
Yeah, exactly.
What other subjects do you like at school? I know you brushed on a couple, but besides the community involvement, which is probably one of most people's favorite subjects.
I really like the biology subject, because as I said, I'm really interested in like plants and things, but it really just shows like how all of these cycles, everything's really involved with each other. So like you have nutrients and water, and it all comes together in the soil to create this plant, and like that's just super interesting. So I think, yeah, biology is my favorite subject.
Well, you're only 15 and this might be a big question, but do you have any idea of what you want to do after you graduate high school?
Not specifically. Well, yeah, like I said, like with the plants, but a really specific career, I haven't chosen yet, but I still have a couple years, so.
Yeah, no pressure there. I'm sure you'll have a lot of things that will allow you to explore your interests. I know you talked a little about the community work and the field trips that you go on. How has the field trips really supported your learning?
That's a good question. I think mainly just to see the knowledge applied. Like in a classroom setting, the teachers just kind of talk at you and like you'll learn it, but it's really just pen and paper. Whereas if you go out in the field trips, like you're working in the gardens or you're shadowing this engineer, you really see how it all comes to work, and that really helps you memorize it better, I guess. So
yeah,
in that way, like, yeah.
Well, thank you very much for sharing. Anything else that you love about this school or that you'd like to share?
I think it's really nice that we aren't necessarily stuck with our age groups. We're categorized more by our skills. So, for example, in my science classes, I'm also with a couple of older people because it's really interesting class for me. So I'm like really pushing and doing a lot of hard work, so I'm at a higher level. But then, for example, in my maths class, I'm struggling a little bit, but then they don't like pressure me to do as well as everyone else in my age group. So that way it's really facilitating for everyone's own skills.
And you said in your math class you're struggling. Would that mean that you're pushed back a grade, not a grade, but a group, or are you still in your same pod, or do you just receive extra help? How does this school help you with that?
Yeah, so they don't hold me back in the way that I'm like in a lower grade. It's really, they know that I'd need some extra help, so that way the school facilitates that. Mm-hmm. And that way I do still get to stick with my friends and take the other courses that I'm doing well in at a higher level, but then I can also receive the extra help with the ones I'm like lacking on a little bit. So it's still very like coherent.
Yeah, and very community-based. Do you have a peer tutor or something that the school helps you with?
The oldest year, they can volunteer to help the younger ones in like the subjects that they're strongest in. So yeah, I have a friend in the oldest year that's helping me with my math.
So seeing all these pods and all these different ages all put together, are most of your friends your age, or is that not something you consider when picking friends?
It's not a very big deal. Obviously, with some age differences, like, I don't know, I'm not necessarily going to hang out with someone who's 11, but some of my friends are 16, some are 14. Like, it really doesn't matter that much, I guess.
Right, because I guess in your pod, you're only separated by around 3 years age difference or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't really change a lot.
Yeah.
And what about the school and the breakfast and lunch program? Do you like cooking all together? Is that something you enjoy?
I think it's really fun, especially to do with your friends. You're just chatting in the kitchen while you're working. And also, it's so nice to then like see everyone enjoying the meals that you're cooking. And I mean, they taste pretty good, especially because, you know, we plant some of the vegetables ourselves.
Right. That's really fun and like very unique program that you have going here, because I know some other pods are trying to implement that. But I think that this pod has one of the best eating, like community, sense of community around food and also school. So thank you for sharing. Anything else?
Yeah. No, not really. I like going to school here, so I'm glad you're trying to promote our school.
Yeah, thank you so much for sitting down with me, and have a good rest of your day in class. I hear that lunch is being prepared right now, so you have to go help prepare lunch. But thank you for sitting down with me, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you for meeting me today. I'm Camille. I'm going to be asking you some questions about what it's like to be a teacher here. So I was wondering if you could introduce yourself, just say a little, how your name and how long you've been a teacher here on Mars.
Hi, I'm Sarah. I'm 33 years old, and I moved to Mars 3 years ago, because when I turned 30 on Earth, I was like, oh, I didn't really do anything with my life yet, so I really wanted a big change, and the opportunity was there to get a teacher position here on Mars. And yeah, then I moved here, and now I'm a teacher for the more social courses.
Wow, talk about culture shock. And we also have Jesse here, who is also a teacher here, but he is actually on a field trip right now. But thank you, Jesse, for still meeting me. He agreed to a phone call.
Yeah, hello. I hope my connection is working properly.
Yeah, I think it's all working well.
Ah, perfect. Yeah, so just a short introduction. I've studied on Earth until I was 25 years old. And then I moved to Mars, where I've been for the past 20 years. I've been a hydraulic engineer here for the past 20 years, and in the past 5 years, I've also been involved in the in the coordination of the technical teaching program.
Well, so are you a teacher, or do you just like go on field trips and work more as a mentor coordinator, or are you more of a actual teacher? I guess I'm trying to ask.
Yeah, I'm a practitioner, so I'm still a hydraulic engineer, and like at the same time, we have a lot of time on Mars on our hands. So at the same time, I coordinate the program. So I'm not necessarily a teacher, but I am involved in the program itself.
Wow. So what does it mean to you, both of you, Sarah and Jesse? What does it mean to you to work at some, like from Earth, this would probably be called an alternative school system. So how does that show up in the way that you teach here?
So I really think there's a really big difference between how it is taught on Earth and how it is on Mars, because on Mars we really try to take care of the children and taking the responsibility for every of our students, and we really try to make them good citizens. And I think more on Earth the focus is on trying to teach them useful stuff or like just general knowledge, and then not necessarily making them functional humans where mm-hmm. with life skills and social skills. And yeah, so I really think that's a big difference here.
Yeah, definitely from what I've heard so far, there's a lot more hands-on learning, especially with the projects that you have. Jesse, can you talk a little more about the project-based learning here on Mars?
So especially during the early stages of Mars colonization, like we're currently in, the professions that we have are quite limited. So that is why for our technical program, we have limited ourselves to four tracks that are really focused on practical work in different technological environments. So the way of learning will be a lot project to get practical skills, and also it will be to make students and also children, because of course education starts from an early age. To get children interested in working in the fields that they're probably going to have to anyway. So,
yeah, thank you. Can you tell me how what you've learned at your job is incorporated into the things you coordinate with the children, and especially the technology aspect?
As an engineer on Mars, I've come to the realization that our base here is basically a big chunk of technology. And due to this huge amount of technology, a lot of jobs on Mars, almost all of them, will contain or will require technical skills for us. And that means implicitly mathematical skills. And this raises an issue because not a lot of people like mathematics at an early age. So this is why children will get to know the various practitioners in a fun way. And based on what draws them the most, they get to choose an element. And so the system that we figured that would be nice to motivate young students is that they get to choose either water, earth, fire, or air. And these are the four elements that have been thought for the, even before Christ. And at this point, these four elements will represent the various technical pathways, tracks, in which they will get a lot of practical information and also the opportunity to practice this element at different levels of depth, so they can go for a really high level education. So they can, for example, for water track, they could become a hydraulic engineer, but they could of course also become a plumber if they decide mm-hmm. to specialize in that. I did see
in some of the classrooms while I was walking around here that there were posters that incorporated water, earth, fire, and air. Can you explain a little about the natural science program, specifically water? Because I know that is something very big here on Mars, seeing how it is a limited resource. Can you talk a little about the water track?
So the Mars base requires perfect water management for the supply and disposal of water and wastewater, but also clean drinking water supply, both for humans and of course for the crops that we need to eat, and so on. So it's a very important subject on the Mars base, and it also links a lot to circularity, a subject that we can see in all the tracks. So. The earth track, for example, will focus on ecology and life sciences. The fire track will focus more on energy, and the air track will focus on air quality and also atmospheric research, which are all very important for the future of our Mars colony. And they all really boil down to this circularity, which we teach in all different tracks.
So at what age do the children learn the tracks, or pick a specific track? Would this be something that the younger kids are exposed to all the various tracks, and That would be earth, fire, air, and water. What age do they pick a specific track?
So this, of course, it depends on the student. If you decide from young age that you want to do the same as, for example, your parents, or you're really drawn to one of the practitioners that you are exposed to, then you get to choose at a very early age. But of course, we can also, we want to deliver a way of teaching education to all the children that is specific to them. So if you need more time to make up your mind, this is of course possible. So there is not really a specific age.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially with all the students here being able to really explore their interests and go out and have field trips and just feel exposed to a lot of different situations overall. So you're on a field trip right now, and field trips and community outreach are very important. Can you talk a little about which element would include what kind of field trips? So for example, what field trips would play into the fire track?
So fire track is a very, I would say, a theoretical track. So not the biggest on field trips, but of course, we do a lot of tests. So fire is linked mainly to energy. So you could think of sustainable fuels, but also the generation of energy and electricity for the Mars base itself. So fieldwork here would be more looking at the systems that we currently apply and testing out new systems. You would not necessarily go outside as so far as that is possible on Mars as you would, for example, on the Earth track, which is much more focused on soils and the growth of crops on Mars, and on Mars soil, of course. That would be what you get to do in the fire track.
Wow, that sounds very fun. I would love to be in the fire track. What about the air track? I think you did touch on the earth, fire, and obviously you touched on the water before when you talked about wastewater, the disposal of water, and the importance of water management. What about the air track? What sort of things are incorporated in that?
The air track is very much about air quality. And that also means how do we produce enough breathable air for our base, but then also about a lot about atmospheric research and science, because of course a lot of people like I almost forgot about it, but on the Earth you can just go outside everywhere, you can just enjoy fresh air wherever right. You are, and on Mars this is a lot different because you are basically all the time within a bubble of pressurized and proper air that we need to live. So if for example, if you follow the air track, we will go outside and we will do different measurements in the air composition and also the air pressure, because these are both very important for life on Mars. And of course, in the future, we would want to expand our colony. And that would mean that, that maybe someday we will be able to create an atmosphere on Mars, which requires a lot of research and a lot of tests. But of course, we could also look at expanding our colony separated from the Mars atmosphere. And that would require larger domes to be formed, which also requires a lot of testing. So we will make test setups of new domes, new types of domes.
And the students are involved in this testing. That's very exciting as a student to be involved in a project this big, like creating an atmosphere on Mars. I'm assuming this is in the older group, the 14 to 18?
Well, of course, as long as you're a kid, you will not be doing advanced pressure calculations. But what we do with the smallest kids is, for example, you have these like soap bubble blowers. And we give them one of those soap bubble blowers, and they can make their own bubble, and we can already with such a simple and fun toy, we can introduce them to a subject of a parcel, an air parcel, and of pressure within and outside the bubble. So it really depends on the age, and of course there is an increase in level over the years, but But of course, naturally, students will not be able to do the actual tests, for the actual base while they're still at a young age.
Right, because they're learning the base first of the knowledge, and then as they get older, they can really incorporate that into more hands-on, practical, tangible activities.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, of course, also to interest them in the subject. It's not,
wow, sounds like you really implemented a lot here as a coordinator, especially with hands-on and tactile learning from an early age. What an exciting time to be in school when you can, like, design a whole planet. I think that's very interesting. How do you include everybody?
So I already mentioned this before, but, like, these tracks, they may sound very difficult. As a kid, not everyone is born to become a plant physiologist or a thermodynamic engineer. And of course, it's not necessary. So as I said, in the water track, you also have the possibility to become a plumber. And in the earth track, you also get the possibility to become a farmer. So there's, of course, like, people go into these tracks together, and there's a lot of difference in level among them, probably. But that doesn't mean that they're excluded from the tracks. It just means that the track will look different to them in the end. And they will, of course, get the opportunity to reach the highest level of difficulty. But if they do not want that, then that's totally okay, because we also need the more practical jobs to sustain our Mars base.
Wow. Thank you for that. That is very interesting, very eye-opening, and I love to hear the practical, how students are able to really not just learn things, but also apply what they're learning immediately and directly to such a present issue that is in their everyday life. What is your favorite part about teaching here?
My favorite part about teaching is I think the creativity that you see among the young students. So as I said, they will not be solving the problems of our time, of our colony, the big problems, but they provide a creative input that's totally different from what you can think of and what we can all think of at the age that we have. I'm currently 45, and it's just totally different, and you can see that they are really, really enjoying to be in the field and to meet practitioners, and that's something that people of my age have experienced a lot less, I think, at this age. So,
Wow, thank you so much for your time. It was great to sit down with you and hear about what it means to be a coordinator here on Mars. I hope you have a good rest of your day on your field trip, and thank you again.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank you for sitting down with me.
Of course.
So I just talked to Jesse, who's also a teacher here. Very interesting. I had a call with him, and he is more in the science field, and I believe you are more in the humanities field. Can you explain a little about that?
Yeah. So at our school, we don't just teach beta courses, so like mathematics and what he explained, like water sciences and all that stuff. But we also emphasize a lot the social and life skills, because so you have to imagine, here on Mars we live in a community with around 1,000 people, so our community life needs to be very well organized, so we don't have conflicts. You live close together, and living close together with a lot of people just creates conflicts. So teaching the children to be active and healthy and aware citizens is key here. We can, for example, teach subjects such as health and well-being, diversity and ethics, life skills, social engagement, and culture.
Wow. I'm sure for you, coming from Earth, it really plays on this as like a perspective of how you're going to educate the kids of today, because they're also growing up in a completely new environment that is not like the one you grew up in Earth. So how does that influence how you teach? Do you do you think of the kids on Earth in like a war-stricken world versus here on Mars, where you're really trying to do it better and avoid those issues altogether?
True. Yeah, I think one of the big problems on Earth is that we're not tolerant enough, and we in on Earth, or like Earthlings now, how we call them here, are more narrow-minded, and you're more in your bubble. And here, because we have so many different people and residents coming from all over the world, from different cultures, different languages, and just with completely different worldviews in one community, we really need to see that our children are taught to be open-minded people, tolerant people. And we do that, for example, with the course Diversity and Ethics.
Yeah, wow. And I bet like it's very important, especially very crucial in these new years of forming this colony, to make sure that those skills are really given to the students and given to the people who are here, so there can be a more communal life that emphasizes social and life skills, and people are, as you said, like active and healthy and aware of other citizens.
Yeah.
So that these are very important skills.
Yeah. For example, what we teach them as skills in diversity and ethics is the value of equality, and
equality.
And because, for example, we want women to be equal to everyone. We want all the different nationalities to be equal to everyone. So we try to teach the children that, but not just in a one-way discussion. So we don't say, okay, everyone's equal, you learned that now, mm-hmm. that's done. But we try to discuss it with them, see what their ideas are. And we think in that two-way method, they learn it way better.
Right, and is this incorporated in all the years, probably?
Yes, I mean, it gets more complex the older you get.
Right, but it's just not a one-time session. Continuous learning.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little more about, like, give me an example of one of the courses you teach?
Oh, yeah, so it is Diversity and Ethics, that's one. And the other one is I'm teaching Community Engagement. And in Community Engagement, we want to make our students think for themselves and try to teach them to voice their opinions, because in our community it's very important that we have a functional democracy, and that only works if you can communicate your viewpoints in a way which does not make other people angry, but more constructive. Yeah, and I think it also takes a lot of courage from the students to be active citizens, and that's one of the goals of that course.
So I know that, especially as I talk to Jesse, who's more science-based, and this is more conflict and forming a human who can communicate well and exist well within the pod society. Do you have field trips? Is that something you explore here, or is most of your work done within the physical classroom?
Yeah, so I'm not personally responsible for the field trips, but in the course we do have field trips, and for example the students go to communal meetings where they see how the decisions are made, where they see how their future is decided, and hopefully trying to get them to join them as well later on. But in that course, like my practical teaching side of that course is more workshops, where I teach them how to have nonviolent communications, where they
settle conflicts together.
Yes,
yes.
Exactly.
And if there's a conflict within a classroom, how do you, as like what is your position? Are you just a teacher, or are you like a conflict? Do you deal with conflict resolution? Do you have a specific title?
So I'm a teacher here, but on Earth, I did consultancy with people to settle conflicts in companies. And that's also why they wanted me here, to teach it to the children. And so I think a really big part of that is just listening. And it sounds so simple, but actually getting children to listen to their opponent is quite a hard thing, and it can take them years. So as long as we keep teaching them, it's working. And I think it's very remarkable if you see their progress through the years.
Yeah, wow. And so if there's a fight, hopefully we never get there because they're dealt with conflict management. But if there is a disagreement in class, do they come to you?
Yes, at least I would say like 70% of the time. And that's, I always, I wouldn't say I enjoy it because it means there's a conflict, but I do appreciate it a lot. And yeah, so I think that's, yeah, a big difference to Earth.
Do you have a pod classroom that is your own, or do you go between pods?
I have a pod for my own.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And then you could also help out in other pods if there's a conflict, because you're specifically trained in that as well.
Yes, exactly.
So good to very good to have you on hand.
Yeah, I would say so.
So all of this must have a really big impact on their mental health, because they're learning about conflicts and resolutions. But I would see that in a positive way. Do you think this is like a very helpful skill for their mental health?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, because I think, at least from my time on Earth, I think a lot of people just didn't talk about their conflicts, but they were still there, you know, but you just weren't open about it. And so, yeah, in the end, that's not healthy. But here we really see it as our responsibility to keep our students healthy and also mentally. And yeah, they're with us for most of their day, so it's our job to do that.
And so that's like more mental health. What about their physical health? I know you teach a well-being course.
Yes. Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, we meet every Tuesday evening, and we talk about what's going on in our life. So it's more like a discussion group where everyone can share a bit about what's going on, because I also know that some of my students' parents, they work a lot in the different pods, so maybe there's not the chance for them to talk to them a lot. And then I want to give them the opportunity to do it here in school.
Wow, that's really great. What about, like, I know you were saying earlier some things about saying nourished, fit, and healthy, and their impact on their health.
So I think you already talked to one of the students who's at lunch right now.
Yes.
And I know that during lunchtime today, they're going to be taught about the different nutrients in their food. So, for example, we teach them about, okay, what are carbs important for? Why do you need them? Which vitamins do you need? And that's, I think, important, because here it's very hard to get healthy food.
Yeah, get all your nutrients.
I mean, we're on, we're on Mars, so there's not that many resources. But if you take care of it and you know what your body needs, then you can be healthy here too.
Wow, that's really great. And I bet as teachers, you are a very good example to them and showing up for them in times they need with mental health, like training, and also well-being training. And as you said, conflict resolution. What about their, like, back to their physical health a little, are there sports here, like extracurriculars in that sense, things that kids can enroll in after the school hours are done?
Yeah, true. So that's actually, some of them are mandatory because yeah, there's different gravity here, so you need to do a lot of sport to keep your body fit. And so we tell our students that they have to do at least three times per week sport after school, just so their muscles don't go away.
Right, and that's also important for like mental health and just meeting kids in general and having a good sense of community.
Yeah.
Well, that's really great. Thank you so much. So one final wrap-up question. What do you love about teaching here?
I love about teaching here to to be able to connect really to my students, because I can teach them for a few years in a row and I can really get to know them, and also just to see them develop and become just their own person and valuable citizen for our community.
Right, so you find it very rewarding. Are you very happy with your decision to come here? I know that is a loaded question, but are you happy about your decision to come here to,
yes, very
to
happy.
Mars?
Yes, very happy.
Very happy. Wow, thank you very much. I'm also very happy with this interview. Very happy to meet you. Have a wonderful day. Thank you for your time.
Thank you too.
Hi, Renske.
Hi.
I had a really good day visiting your school today.
Happy to hear that. What did you think about your teachers?
Well, I met with Jesse and Sarah, and that was very eye-opening to hear from them. They're both from Earth. That's very interesting to me.
Yeah, we're very happy to have them here because they add a lot to the school.
Yeah, I'm sure. And they're also very knowledgeable about their respective studies.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Sarah about conflict management and Jesse about the water systems and the earth elements and fire. And what was the last one? Earth, fire, water,
air.
Yeah. Wow.
Like our students really love them as well. So it's they add a lot to the school.
Yeah, you definitely have a lot of like very good teachers, and they're also very involved in their student life, and you can just tell by the way they're talking that they're happy to be teachers here. So what makes this school so different from other schools on Mars, in your opinion?
I think the level of community involvement in our students at our inner school is like a lot higher than other schools have, and we're very proud to have that because we think it's very important for life on Mars to have a good community building. Otherwise, yeah, we're just a bit far in space anyway,
yeah.
So we need to stick together, I think.
Yeah, you can really tell that with the students and their like field trips that they do and just how much involvement the teachers have in their lives as well. And overall, you're looking out for one another. You care for one another, and not just academically, but like emotionally as well.
Yeah, definitely. That's the goal.
That definitely makes your school great. And do you have any future plans for this school? Because obviously it seems to be thriving. The students are thriving, the student that I met with and the teachers that I met with.
Yeah, well, the goal for the future is that basically to keep that the same, the nice feeling within the school. And we hope to like keep it growing with Mars, with the community, because if there are new things coming up on Mars, new knowledge that needs to be
explored.
new values maybe that we can incorporate it into our education system right away, so kids from young age can learn to deal with new problems and new things. So we just want to keep growing at our community and keep going the way we're going, because we think it's a good path.
Yeah, do you see the school expanding? Do you think there'll be more students?
Yeah, I think so. If the community on Mars keeps growing, then I think the school will keep growing as well.
And do you think this school model is sustainable to continue to apply as more students come in?
I think so. I think we can keep expanding, just add more paths, maybe more teachers, then that should be no problem.
Wow, very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me visit your school.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
I definitely learned a lot about the education system and just the overall involvement of the teachers with the pods and what some would call on Earth an alternative system. So thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. This was Podcast for Pod Life with your host, Camille, and we learned about the education system on Mars. I hope you learned just as much as I did from the principal, student, and the teachers.